Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
It can never be said that we don't go to the ends of the earth to bring in good guests for you of this show. Welcome back to ABQ Connect. David Breitenbach and Angela Breitenbach, they are with Sun Network, the Spiritual Orphans Network, and from all the way from the Ukraine. You just coached me on that, and I already blew it, David.
That's okay.
Anna Maria Gross, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, well, you guys have some exciting things happening, and I want to make sure that our audience is reintroduced to Spiritual Orphans Network and what you do and how you do it. And we did have you on the show 3-4 weeks ago, and mm-hmm. we're going to continue to have these if you're willing.
Oh, we're willing.
I'm pretty sure the Lord's willing.
Absolutely.
And as more familiar our listeners get with your organization, I think the more they're going to feel comfortable with coming alongside you and hearing about all the exciting things. And there's some opportunities, maybe.
Yes.
COVID cooperating.
Definitely.
To maybe travel.
Sure.
To some former communist countries. David, tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Certainly. So Spiritual Orphans Network, and you'll hear us refer to it as Sun Network or just Sun, a capital S-O-N. And we serve to connect spiritual orphans to the global family of Christ. And we serve specifically in former communist and Soviet bloc nations. And that's because Christianity was almost completely destroyed in those countries for over three generations. And so it's a very long recovery, even though we're almost 30 years after the Soviet Union. We have an opportunity to partner with that remnant of believers, and they're desperately trying to fan those embers of faith to grow their own ministries and to reach out into their communities.
David, there's also a component that a lot of men were killed over those three generations. And so the things that we might enjoy here in America with grandfathers and older fathers, that doesn't really exist there.
It does not, and that's for many reasons. Certainly, World War II contributed a great deal to that. Stalin had a very interesting way of sending troops out. He would normally send five soldiers with one rifle. And as the first one was shot, you'd pick up that rifle and you go on. And so there was a tremendous amount of death. But with the implementation of communism under the Soviet structure and communism in all other structures, one of the questions we get to ask when we present about our ministry, and this is particularly with younger students, you know, we'll ask everybody, how many people approximately died under the Nazis? And most people will say between 6 and 8 million people. Well, how many people died under communism? And we hear crickets. Over 100 million people. Some say 120 million people have died under communism. And at the forefront of that is having to make sure that people are no longer worshiping God, but worshiping the government. And you have a lot of if you don't go ahead and worship the government, they will deal with you. And the first thing they do is either put you in jail or torture you until you say yes or you die. Mm. And a lot of people died as a result.
Angela, you've been married to this young man that we're talking to here, and he's a pastor, and kind of you guys decided to take on Spiritual Orphans Network, and you are overseeing education and operations. You got to count the beans, so to speak.
That's right.
But you're working very closely with people like Anna Maria.
Yes. And so every summer, this summer excluded for obvious reasons, we take short-term teams to these countries and do English Bible camps for the primary aged students who are learning English, want to be able to practice, and then life and adventure camps for the teens. And I have the joy and honor of writing that curriculum every year and have a lot of fun doing that, and even more fun working with the kids. It's just amazing as we go year after year to see these young people grow in their walk with Christ, and many, many accept Christ and become leaders in their own churches, become pastors in their own communities. So we've been at it long enough that we've been able to witness that. And it is an incredible thing what God does.
Well, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you about how you met Anna Maria. But before I do that, I want to make sure that people understand what's different about doing missions in this part of the world, because you state in your on your website and other things that this isn't these are not countries where people are starving.
Certainly.
These are not countries where you don't have infrastructure and all of those kinds of things.
Right.
So it's a little bit different. Tell us about that, David.
It is. And typically when somebody thinks of a mission trip, you think of going to go and help. And you're digging a well, you're building a home, you're feeding, you're clothing, all things that need to happen. You need to meet people where they are. In many of those countries, and we're talking about Africa and Guatemala and Haiti, places like that, there's still an openness spiritually. And so you're meeting the need, the immediate need to serve the people. But that spiritual openness, it's not coming from a place of darkness. Often those missions are an ends to a means, or a means to an end, rather, where you're serving them, so then you can perhaps share the gospel with them. Where we serve, as you stated, that infrastructure is already there. They're meeting people's needs, but there's this palpable spiritual darkness. A relationship with God has been removed for over three generations. And so there's a darkness and there's a complete ignorance. And people are completely unaware that there's a Father who loves them, that they have brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. They don't understand the concepts of forgiveness and certainly don't understand that sure and certain hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so it's an incredible opportunity.
And the governments are not interfering any longer with what you're doing?
Some are, and it depends on where we serve. And certainly you've seen what's happening in Belarus. That's one of our countries. And they function very much in the old Soviet way, even though on paper it says they're democratic. We know that has not been the case. There are other countries that are much more open. For instance, in Ukraine, very open spiritually for a former Soviet bloc nation. It comes from more of an Orthodox perspective. But that we don't have those issues where there are the roadblocks. But it really depends on country to country what the spiritual, how open they are spiritually, how supportive the government is to free religion.
Angela, will you introduce Anna Maria to us?
I would
how you got
love
to. Know her?
To. So I had the opportunity, David and I had the opportunity to visit Ukraine for the first time in 2007. Where we were introduced to a pastor by the name of Alexander Gross, very involved in youth and family ministries there, picked us up early one morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, drove us to see one of his camps. Just an incredible man. Over the next couple of years, we were able to form a relationship with him, and you're going to hear that word a lot from me. We are a relational ministry. Mm-hmm. And was finally able to do our first Bible camp in Ukraine in 2009.
Yes.
Anna Maria was, we think, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And so she was one of my students.
I don't remember.
She says she doesn't remember, but I definitely remember Anna Maria. So we have had just this incredible privilege of watching this young lady grow up, become a leader in her own community, in her mm-hmm. own church. And she is here for her second year to do Bible school up in Minnesota.
Mm. Anna Maria, I've got to ask you what it's like to be a teenager in Ukraine, and maybe a little bit more detail about how it is to be a Christian teenager.
Okay. Thanks for asking me. So Ukrainian teenagers' only exposure to church is through Orthodox Church. So it is a cultural Christianity, which means they go to church a couple times a year and only out of obligation. Because of this, they don't have a true understanding of what it means to be a Christian. For example, a recent example that happened to me a couple months ago, when I traveled back home, I was seated next to two Russians. All cultures are similar in this way. So they eventually asked me where do I study and what do I study. And when I told them about Bible college, they asked me a lot of funny questions like, are you going to be a priest? Are you going to live with the church, or are you going to have a family? What about kids? I just thought it's really funny. So as you can see, there are a lot of misunderstandings about church and what it is like to be a Christian.
Yeah. You know, we don't have a lot of dissimilarities in this country. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of cultural Christians. There are people that think, we're going to go to church maybe once a week. You know, you're on the campus right now of Calvary Church, mm-hmm. and Calvary Church has meetings on Wednesdays. They have church on Saturday night. They have three services on Sunday. They have men's groups on Thursdays. They have women's groups on Tuesdays. So you literally could go to church mm-hmm. at least 5 days a week. And then the campus is designed so that, you know, especially during COVID right now, you can't really go into a restaurant and sit down. I know they just opened them up a little bit. But if you go by a restaurant and you pick up something to go, you can come out here and sit in this beautiful mm-hmm. courtyard, listen to the fountain. You can go out to the park and just enjoy the campus every day of the week, literally. And that's kind of what we feel church should be, is just a place where people gather and fellowship and love on each other. Tell us a little bit about the school. You're going to Minnesota.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so just my first observation here. You want to come to New Mexico in the winter, not Minnesota.
I'm coming here for Christmas.
Oh, there you go.
And New Year to spend some time with David and Angela and their family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so where do you go in Minnesota?
Do you know Free Lutheran Bible College
yes.
in Plymouth?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really nice there.
Yeah. And have you been, you've been to the Bible College for some time before?
Yeah, 1 year.
1 year.
So it's going to be my second year.
Yeah. And how long does it take to graduate?
Only 2 years.
Only 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is really neat. I want to, we're going to come back and ask you more about how you're going to use your education and all
yeah.
of that. But David, I'd like you to go more in depth sure. into the effects of socialism and communism on the human spirit and a connection to God. Mainly because, and I'm not going to ask you to make a social commentary
sure.
on America, but there are people mm-hmm. in this country that are promoting socialism.
They are.
And everyone that I know, I've not had a chance to talk to Anna Marie about this, but everyone I know that comes from a socialist or a communist country has literally scolded me
mm-hmm.
and said, you Americans do not appreciate what God has given you in your country.
That's right.
So I want you to tell us a little bit about what's happened in these former communist countries.
Certainly. One of the best and simplest ways I've had explained to me what it did to people was a pastor in Bulgaria. And he said simply that communism takes away initiative. Everything is provided to you and for you, but it's reduced to the lowest common denominator. And so there's no reason to have that initiative. What it does to a person spiritually and emotionally, it removes that intimate relationship. People tend to be, we're experiencing isolation right now. And in that setting, you tend to be isolated because you're taught not to trust anyone, not even your own family in that situation. I've heard it opined that, the other countries just haven't done socialism right. Mm-hmm. And I take exception to that because, well, first of all, it speaks to our own naivete as Americans that somehow we think we can do it better. But it really takes a toll on the people. And so what we see having happened specifically in the Soviet Union is that in order for that model to work, they had to remove everything else that distracted away from the government. And that's all sorts of personal pursuits, certainly any relationship, any religious relationship, not just Christianity, but Buddhism, Muslims, whatever. It was all taken away so that you literally worship the leader. And that doesn't work because of our human depravity. And there's always going to be different social classes, even in communism, even in socialism. People also think, well, the Soviet Union, that was communist. It's not socialism. Well, it was the United Soviet Socialist Republic. Mm. Same thing with the Nazis. They were the National Socialist Party. And so we can pick at words, but what it does, it removes the human spirit in place for a human construct, and it negates God. And it does not work without God because we're human.
We are in studio this afternoon with Pastor David Breitenbach and Angela Breitenbach. They are both with the Spiritual Orphans Network. Angela is the Director of Operations and Youth Education for the ministry. They have brought a special guest all the way from Ukraine, Anna Maria Gross, stopping off at Albuquerque where it's warm, and her last experience with warm till you get to Minnesota, young lady, and you go into Bible college up there. We're going to get to know Anna Maria a little bit more. But we want to go now to Angela. Angela counts the beans, steers the boat, so to speak, on the operations side. And I want to ask you about how you're supported. Do you get government funding and those kinds of things?
No. As a religious nonprofit, we do not get any government funding. We sometimes get some grant money from some churches that that have those types of funds to set aside. Those tend to go to our programming. We have got all kinds of funds. We do have some long-term missionaries and, of course, raise funds for specific programs in the countries where we serve. But most of our dollars come from congregations and individuals all over North America. And so we do rely on those dollars coming in from our supporters. And in this time, of course, it's certainly more difficult for people to think about people, for example, in Ukraine right now, and that this work is still going on. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has blessed us in some relationships with some very creative people that have allowed us to keep our ministries going this summer with virtual camps, some online events that we've had. But, just those dollars that come in from people who hear about us and
tell us about your website.
Absolutely.
Your website is Son, S-O-N. So it's not two N's. It's Son. S-O Network,
right.
Is what I wanted to say.
Right.
S-O Network, but when you look at it visually, it says Sun Network.
We simply say Sun Network with one N.
I love
that's
it.
That's because if it has two, it looks like Sonnet Work, and that didn't seem to work.
Which is lovely, but not.
So again, SONETWORK.org, mm-hmm. And you can find out all kinds of information.
All kinds of information.
How you give, you have some statements from students that are involved in the program.
Some testimonies.
Lots
absolutely.
Of videos. Absolutely.
A short synopsis of every country where we work, mm-hmm. The specific needs within those countries, how to plug in and come on a mission trip with us in 2021. We are gearing up those teams right now so that we're ready to go next summer.
And Jim, I'd like to point out that we're a 28-year-old organization. With that comes some baggage, and that we find ourselves historically in the same place that a lot of organizations, nonprofits our size do, and that our founding support base has aged considerably. And we're losing them by attrition. You know, they're in their 70s, they're in their 80s, some in their 90s. And so we're really retooling so that we can engage a younger audience, not just to be hip, but so that we have people who realize that there's some place that they can plug in ministry. And that can be financially. It can certainly be serving on a team. It can be through prayer. It can be through their congregations, their for-profit organizations that want to partner with somebody like us. And so we're really in that transition point, and complicated with COVID, we've seen our giving dollars go down, understandably so. But we really want people to see that there's an opportunity to make a difference in the world, and it's right in their own backyards. And in fact, we have a new way to give since we last talked, and that's text to give. And you simply text SON, S-O-N, capital letters, to 800-500-5858. It's SON to 800-500-5858.
That's cool technology.
Yeah.
David, I don't want to sound like a sales guy, but I just have on my heart right now that obviously it's you know, we interview, I get the pleasure of interviewing a lot of people that are helping people all over the world. Mm-hmm. South India, they're facing starvation. They don't have that infrastructure you were talking about.
Right.
A lot of dollars are going into food. But as you talk about bringing the gospel to these former communist countries, mm-hmm. I am sensing that, and maybe Anna Maria will concur with this, that people there are just hungry for the gospel. They're not starving, but they're starving spiritually. They have this hole in them. So the efficiencies of going there and sharing the gospel could be just amazing, because you mentioned three generations of no God.
Right.
That could be corrected pretty quickly.
Yeah. And we definitely see the effects of that. Mm-hmm. Where we serve, they have the highest divorce, alcoholism, and abortion rates in the world. And so there is this darkness, there is this hopelessness, and when we are able to bring the light of Christ into that environment, the impact is astonishing.
One of the exciting things about serving where we do is that you can literally be talking to someone who's never heard about God, who's never heard about Jesus before. And we read in Scripture that the sheep will recognize the shepherd's voice. And we have witnessed over and over again where somebody hears the word of God, they recognize it as being the truth, and they immediately respond. Here in the U.S., people say, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. I've heard about Jesus. I've heard about God. We're going to places where they've never heard before, and they respond, in some cases, instantaneously. And it's so exciting to really be on the ground floor opportunity, if you will, to begin preaching the gospel again in places that do not know the gospel.
So how do our listeners become part of your team? I know you've got to be fluid in your plans for 2021, but you are planning right now on taking some mission teams.
We are, and it's based on what we had planned for this year, and we've been serving the same countries, we remind you, over and over again, and so we really have great partnerships. Right now, we're planning on returning to Ukraine, Slovakia, Estonia, and Latvia, possibly Russia, and possibly Czech Republic, as well as Albania. And those are the places that we're planning on going. We have dates, approximate dates that are currently on our website. We're in the midst of confirming those dates, but we'd like to do the camps. Either way, we'll still have teams put together because we can do them virtually now. That's not the same, but it still is important. So the why we're going never changes. The what often does. Mm. And so we plan to go physically, but we may have to do the what differently by doing it digitally. Either way, we need people to join our teams.
Anna Maria, did you enjoy the English Bible camps that you did with Americans? Did you do those in Ukraine?
Yeah, I loved them a lot. I remember that it was always very exciting. My first English Bible camp was in 2010 when I was around 8 years old. I still remember some really fun songs, and that our lessons were always very active, and I also got to learn English. My latest camp was 2 years ago, and I got to be a translator this time. I think it's really cool, but also tiring. And I'm really thankful to all of the teams that came, and I appreciate what they did for us.
So this is not on script. I didn't write this down on the list here, but I need to ask you about, I want to go back kind of to the being a teenager, technology infrastructure. Do you have a computer and
yes.
you can communicate via computer and cell phone and everything else?
We have a lot of stuff and also pizza.
And pizza. Where did pizza actually come from? Because I understand that's not an Italian thing.
Pizza, as we know it, is not really Italian.
No.
But
it is the international language of food.
Yes, it is.
It truly is.
Pizza everywhere.
How about hamburgers?
We do.
You have hamburgers. What is your favorite? What's Ukraine famous for in terms of food?
You mean American food?
No. What is Ukraine? Okay. Ukrainian food.
There is borscht, but I don't really like it. It's a soup. I just like my mom's food a lot. Mm. That's what I'm gonna say.
Okay. All right. Are you a cook?
No.
No cooking?
Sorry.
Well, I did most of the cooking in my family.
That's nice.
My kids like, in fact, today I made some enchiladas for my kids.
Fantastic.
So, which you'll have to taste enchiladas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will.
When green chili actually makes it to the Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
the country will be saved.
I agree.
God will use green chili to reach the entire
nation. Amen, preach it, brother.
Okay.
Hey, we are having a good time this afternoon talking with Pastor David Breitenbach and Angela Breitenbach. She's the Operations and Youth Education Director for the ministry. David is the executive director. They've brought with them today a special guest, Anna Maria Gross. Dad's a pastor.
Yes.
In Ukraine. And we have Steve Ryman, our producer, signaling now, you better take a break and thank our sponsors. So we'll do that and we'll come back right after these messages.
Great.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budgay. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You'll get a better deal and a better experience. And every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Anna Maria Gross. Sorry, I said the American Gross earlier, so I got to say it correctly, Gross. She is from Ukraine, visiting us today, and she is with David Breitenbach, the Executive Director of the Spiritual Orphans Network, and his wife, Angela. Angela serves as the Director of Operations and Youth Education for the ministry. Anna Maria, I want to ask you about how you're going to Bible college. This is your second year. You'll finish up here at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Around May. Is that when you finish?
Yes.
And you're going to be one of the coldest places on the planet. So you have to study. You have to, that's what you got to do. You got to study. Tell me why you're going to Bible college in the United States.
So the main reason is that we don't have Lutheran Bible colleges or schools in Ukraine. But I was actually asked if I would like to study in U.S. I think it's a great opportunity for me and my future. I couldn't even dream about something that great, but one of my friends, my family friends, who is a missionary, not David or Angela, it's another person, he knows my family very well. He asked me if I want to go there, and he let me know that these 2 years will be definitely really nice, and they'll change my life, and it will make my relationship with God even stronger.
Right. Well, I know you were a little nervous about the radio today. I hope you're less nervous.
Yeah, I am.
Our listeners are really, really nice, and they're really interested to hear about your journey. David, is part of your program, though.
Yes.
In a minute, we're going to talk about what Anna Maria is going to be doing with her education. Mm-hmm. But one of your criteria is that as these young people get trained up, they go back into their own countries.
Yes. As you well know, there's quite a bit of difference of living in a former communist nation and now coming to the U.S. And so we really get to know the students. It's that relationship thing that we keep talking about. We've known her since she was a small child, and watching her and identifying her as a leader and someone who desires to serve in her own country. And that's somebody that we would gladly bring to the U.S. for education that they couldn't normally get in their own country, so that they go back with that education to continue to grow that ministry. It's so important.
Angela, I think about my teachers, and the teachers that I can remember, especially when I was really young, were all women. I don't know if that's a cultural thing in the United States, but a lot of women go into education, don't they?
That's true. That's true. Although we really do like to take men and boys on these trips with us because, as we talked about in a previous segment, that witness, that male role modeling just does not really exist in these countries because so many of the men were killed during communism and in the churches in particular, the remnant are these little babushkas, these little grandmothers, who are so precious, but they lack that the male role model. So to take a mature Christian man with us is so important. Amen. And the kids respond so incredibly to that different type of nurturing.
Mm. Anna Maria, what do you plan on doing with your education? You're going to finish up this year. What's next?
Yeah. So, as you already know, my dad is a pastor at a local church in Ukraine. So my journey with Christ started a long time ago. I have experience teaching Sunday school in my church. And after Bible college, I hope to work with youth.
Mm. What are schools like? Are they similar to American schools? Do you start when you're 5 years old in kindergarten and go all the way through elementary and then middle school? Tell us about how school is for young people in Ukraine.
You start when you're 6 or 7. It's not like different buildings, if I can say that. It's like one school and you're there for 11 years.
Oh, Right. Yeah. Well, my kids would identify. They all went to Hope Christian in Albuquerque, and they kind of had that experience. It was a wonderful experience, but they were from kindergarten all the way through high school in the same school.
Yeah, and the education that the kids get in that part of the world is very formal. They're taught to stand when the teacher enters, to stand when they ask a question. And so we are able to do our Bible camps in the public schools, which is mind-blowing for an American to be able to do a Bible camp in a public school. But we work really hard to make that fun for the kids. We rearrange the desks. We get up and do a lot of kinetic activities. We play a lot of games. We do crafts. We sing so that it's they're not just coming back to school.
Right.
To do more English lessons. Mm.
But it sounds like Anna Maria enjoyed learning English.
Yes, I did.
Harder or easier than the other languages? And mention the other languages that you speak.
Yes. I also speak Polish, kind of. but I think English is the easiest one for me.
Mm. But you speak Russian?
Yes,
and of course
I do.
You speak Ukrainian?
Yes.
And some German.
Yes. So just a little bit.
I had the fortune of going down to a section of Albuquerque called Eastgate Heights. It's out near Coors and Central. And an elementary school there, I'll let it remain nameless, but I went to a fourth grade class, and it's bilingual education, Spanish and English. So I didn't really have any expectation, but I see a black child, a white child, an Asian child, a little Jewish boy that was Hasidic, and so he had certain clothes on and things that identified him as such. And I listened to these fourth graders speaking Spanish as well as I've ever heard anybody speak Spanish, and then with the snap of their fingers, they're speaking English.
Right.
And I'm immediately thinking, why isn't every American child in this country in bilingual or trilingual or quadlingual education? Because it seemed like it was so easy for these children to learn this growing up. I hope this is something we incorporate into our educational system, and you will have an amazing advantage in ministry all over this world because of the languages that you speak. So, wow, I'm so impressed with that, and God's going to bless that. And
thank
I mean,
you.
That really is a gift. That really is an amazing gift. We're going to take another break, and we're going to come back for our last 20 minutes. We're in studio this afternoon with David and Angela Breitenbach. They're with the Spiritual Orphans Network. We're telling you all about their ministry today. Their special guest all the way from Ukraine is Anna Maria Gross. We'll be right back after these messages.
Working in local law enforcement can be a thankless task, dealing with the best and worst of our community. Whether it's being on patrol, responding to emergency and non-emergency calls, solving crimes, traffic control, and so much more. Considering the current landscape, we're taking the month of September to encourage and support those serving in local law enforcement. We hope you'll do the same. What does it mean to you? Share a smile, a wave, an act of kindness, or a simple thank you. What does it mean to them?
It just makes me feel good that there's actually people out there already praying for me. So I love that sentiment.
To know that we have community support, that's, to me, is just the most amazing, amazing thing in the world.
This month, for Mission New Mexico, go to KNKT and Star 88 Facebook pages and let us know what you're doing to support local law enforcement.
The church is commanded to make disciples of all nations, not to simply take the gospel worldwide to create converts who are never taught to lead others to Christ. The Great Mission on Star 88 and KNKT features people who are changing lives with the gospel and making disciples around the globe. The Lamar family, operating the Faith, Love, and Hope Kids Ranch in the Philippines, is a wonderful example.
Challenges we face are nothing compared to what other missionaries face in other countries. I'm even ashamed to mention it. The most challenging issue with the culture is they copy everything America does. There isn't much of the true Filipino culture left anymore. They have been Americanized. Where we live in the province, you can still find a bit of culture left. I'm trying to keep it alive as long as I can through the children.
Support this work of eternal value. Visit The Great Mission at star88.fm and knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back this afternoon. I want to mention one more time that ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. In studio this afternoon, Pastor David Breitenbach, Executive Director of the Spiritual Orphans Network, and Angela, his wife, Director of Operations and Youth Education for the Ministry, Anna Maria Gross from Ukraine. Also in studio with us. You look more comfortable, young lady. Are you more comfortable now?
Yes, I am.
So I have three daughters, and they're a little bit older than you. But I don't have out of my five children, I don't have a shy child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Three of them, and one of them's here in the studio, is really loud.
Yeah.
I don't even have to turn on the microphone for her, and everybody in Albuquerque can hear her. Mm-hmm. I'm teasing her. But I appreciate you mentioned formal education. You incorporated in that description, Angela, in Ukraine, that even though there's a spiritual deficit, there's respect.
Mm-hmm. There's incredible respect for the older generation.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing.
It is.
Yeah, and that's something that I think we've lost politically in our country, interpersonally. I don't know why that is. I absolutely don't agree with a lot of the, you know, people that are standing on podiums these days on TV and making this claim and that claim. But I don't think that we should resort to calling them names. I don't think we need to make up lies about them. I mean, I just feel like the disrespect and the attacks. In fact, I know many people that won't even run for political office because they're afraid of the, you know, unbelievable scrutiny and everything else that comes along with that. And a lot of it's very unfair and untruthful. And even more reason that we need to work in this country. We need people like Anna Maria to come and say, you Americans need to pay attention to what you have. Because I think that this country has really been blessed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm sure that some of us are not really recognizing that.
Not at all. And it's really interesting where we serve that art of genuine conversation, of debate, is still very much alive. And you can have vastly different opinions and still share in a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and enjoy each other's company and learn from one another. We all have our opinions. But you never underestimate what you can learn from another person.
So this is way off script.
Sure.
This could help our marriages, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. And we have seen that in our ministry. It really helps to strengthen marriages and families to come on a mission trip to get out of your comfort zone and into another culture and really meet people where they are. And you bring that back with you. That's something that's a gift that you're given through any mission trip, I think. That is just not lost.
So you're getting ready to take a trip. What's a tentative plan, a date? Just pick one.
We begin usually the very first part of June.
Okay.
Our camps in total last anywhere from 12 days to 22 days, depending on whether you're going to do a 1 week or a 2 week in a country.
I'm going to throw out a scenario for
absolutely.
You. Absolutely. So, mom and dad with two kids, they normally go on a 2 week vacation, drive in an RV around. They have to rent the RV, pay for gas, do this and that, pay all the food. How about if they want to spend the money and go to Ukraine for a week?
You know, I've had people ask me that question, and I believe that going on a mission trip, serving the Lord in another culture fills you up in a way that a vacation never can.
The former Hope student, Faith Helgeson, we have her on video on our website. She phrases it's the best of both worlds. You get to go to a really different location. You get to see amazing architecture, eat amazing foods, meet amazing people, And you're not a tourist. You're actually in there. You're working with people, and you get to bring that back home with all the photographs and the memories. And so, and you're serving the Lord.
Mm. Anna Maria, what is unique about people from Ukraine? If you were to compare them, here's the way I want to phrase it. What do Americans need to know about Ukrainians that would be something special they would need to know about them?
I just don't know how to answer. Actually, maybe people are not smiling that much.
Hmm.
Maybe because they're tired and working too hard. I don't know. What else?
I know that a lot of people still think that Ukraine's in Russia, and it's not.
No, it's not.
Its own country.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is the language significantly different from Russian?
It's not that different, but in my part of country, and I live near the sea in Odessa, we speak Russian because it's a tourist city.
Mm. Hmm. Near the sea.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really warm beaches, is it?
In the summertime?
Yes. It is.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
See, I know nothing about the geography.
On the other side of the Black Sea is Turkey.
Okay.
And we think of Turkey as being warm.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking cold.
Well, she's in the southern part of Ukraine.
Okay.
So it's a little warmer there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's inviting us to the beach.
Oh, definitely.
In Ukraine. What do you think?
Yeah, you can go.
Hey, and mission trips are not they're not like this laborious bunch of work. I mean, you're out meeting people and talking with people and enjoying. That's one of the reasons I love doing ABQ Connect. You know, I've just gotten to know you guys in the last 3 weeks. I meet Anna Maria today. I mean, every day I get to meet some new, interesting people. And when you go on a mission trip, that's times 100.
It is. And you will be challenged physically, spiritually, and emotionally in some cases, because it is. I mean, the first hurdle is approximately 30 hours of travel from the time you wake up from your pillow at home and you put your head on a pillow wherever you're serving. But the culture is different. The language is different. If you go to a country that uses the Cyrillic alphabet, everything looks different. And then you are. We do real work there, but it is. It fills you up at the same time.
Yeah.
So Anna Maria was talking about this sort of very Russian, Slavic stoicism in the people. They don't smile readily, although the longer we've been over there, we can detect what we now call the Russian smile. but what we have discovered is they are some of the most genuine, loving people that you will ever meet. They have an incredibly rich heritage, an incredibly rich culture, and they want to share it with you. And so when they say to you, let's do tea, let's go have coffee, they mean right now. And they will drop everything that they are doing and spend time really getting to know you, and are such warm, caring people.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I want to encourage our listeners, as you listen and find out all about Spiritual Orphans Network, that is SONETWORK.org. Go on the website, find out when the trips are planned. You can reach out to them also through the website and find out details if COVID changes anything in 2021. We're all praying that this thing somehow comes to an end.
Amen.
Man, I got to tell you, it has been an ordeal. In fact, one of the things that we have of all of our staff is we pray, people submit prayer requests. And so we pray over those every day. And the one I had today, family didn't identify themselves, but they said, pray for my family and our mental health because COVID has really gotten us down. And I've asked my children if they feel like this has really gotten them down. And they are all in pretty good spirits. They have technology that Anna Maria was talking about earlier, where they're participating in church services and youth group and other types of things. They're, you know, they always do the single hand 4,000 mile an hour typing on the texting things. I don't know how to do any of that. So she's shaking her head affirmative.
Yes.
So sounds like that's a teenager thing around the world. So, you know, maybe in that way, in that sense, that type of communication is good. But I really can't wait to get back to doing exactly what we're doing right now, talking to each other face to face. David, last time you were on the program, we were talking that this was just before August 27th. You were talking about the Be the Generation of Faith. It was a free live streaming event online. Yes. How did that go for you?
It went really well, and that was new territory for us because as we're embracing this digital age and this way of communicating, normally we are able to visit congregations all over the U.S. when we're not overseas and to bring people together to talk about the ministry. So we thought, you know, Christians all over are looking at ways that they can still make a kingdom impact and still bring the gospel to pre-Christians. And so we were able to have two good friends, Reverend Dr. Gemetzes Buba and also Pastor Greg Finke, be our keynote speakers. They are amazing men of faith to bring inspiration, to bring some practical ideas for how to continue to do that, and to encourage people to look at the importance of global missions being hand-in-hand with what we try to do locally and in our own communities. I think we talked about last time that, and Angela alluded to this today, that if you go on a global mission somewhere else out of your own territory, that often opens your eyes to what's in your own backyard. So you come back with a fresh perspective and a new zeal for doing missions in your own backyard. And so we hope to procure that. So Be the Generation of Faith was to focus on global missions and also to let people know about Spiritual Orphans Network, because that's a new name for our organization. As of this last April. Before that, we were East European Missions Network. And so bringing people along that side. It also was, we were hopeful in engaging some new viewers and new future supporters. As we talked about, we're seeing, our older members, they're beginning to not be able to support us anymore. And so, if people are interested in watching that program, we also recognize that we were competing with the last night of the RNC and the president's acceptance speech. It's now in recorded form on our website as well as on our Facebook page. It's a 90-minute program, so you can stream through whatever you don't want to watch, but we encourage you to at least listen to the keynotes. Had some amazing music by a local Christian musician, Tom Crow, mm-hmm. Maya's Praise Band from Faith Lutheran Church here in Albuquerque.
Tom's quite an accountant.
Yes,
too.
Yes, he is.
And a very good friend.
And
good friend
actually, he does investments.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Crow Financial, that's where we office. Mm. They've offered offices to us. But it was a good learning experience, but we also know that we reached a lot of people that hadn't encountered us before. So we're hopeful.
Yeah. In that respect. Talk about your website one more time.
Sure.
And tell people how they can contact you. Mm-hmm. And again, if you could direct us how we find out about the trips that are coming
Certainly.
Up and how families can enroll, how mm-hmm. churches support you, all of those kinds of things.
So if you go to our website, that's sunnetwork.org, Sun Network with one N, and you'll see opportunities as one of the selections, and that will show all the trips that we're proposing for 2021. Right now we're going with Plan A, and that's to go. Plan B, God will provide and reveal that to us as we need to respond. But each trip has a button on it where you can download and fill out an application. And you fill out that application. There's a small application fee, but you send that in. Angela will look at it, and we will contact you as soon as we get it. And from there, we will assign you to the team, and then the teams will begin to train together online about February. End of February, beginning of March, in preparation for wherever they're going. And the team preparation is a lot of fun. It's done on Zoom. I know that's not fun for people anymore, but they get to meet their team members, more importantly, who come from all over the U.S. Mm-hmm. And you really become a cohesive team as a result.
I know there's high schoolers.
Yes.
All throughout Albuquerque that are taking, I'm going to call them senior trips.
Yes.
This could be an extra special senior trip.
Yes, and we have taken several students as a senior trip. Mm-hmm. I think the youngest person we've ever taken without parents was 14. Mm-hmm. The oldest person that's ever gone on a trip with us is 87. So mm-hmm. it really runs the gamut, and it always amazes me how God puts our teams together and the giftings that each team is just always so perfect for the location in which we're serving. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Being the generation of the faith means where we serve, there are no grandmas and grandpas, no fathers and mothers to walk alongside the new generation of believers. So that makes everybody who's a believer part of that older generation, even if you're only 14 or if you're only 86. You are a spiritual father or spiritual mother to somebody who does not yet know Christ, and God can use you.
I talked to a couple missionaries in the Philippines 2 days ago, and we're actually going to play their show on Labor Day next Monday. They have a 14-hour time difference, so 5 o'clock here was, I think, 7 o'clock in the morning there. So we had a chance to talk with the Lamars, and I had a chance to talk with their son, Micah, who's a young man like Ana Maria. And I said, you've lived with your family and worked in an orphanage. Your family's run this orphanage for 20 years. How do you feel about being a father someday? And he's young. He's young like you. You're probably not thinking about having kids anytime soon. You got to do the husband thing and all that other stuff down the road. By the way, I wouldn't trade it. I have 5 kids. Wouldn't give any of them back. Now, I'm not going to recommend 5 kids. I love all 5 of mine, but you may be a little reasonable about. I'm just teasing. My kids listening to this going, oh, rolling their eyes about dad. But what I was going to say is Micah said something very interesting in response. He said, I am already a father because he's been ministering. Amen. He teaches. He's a physical education teacher, teaches basketball, which is sport after my own heart, and he's working with these young people, and they literally are his children because they are orphans.
I actually heard that interview, and it reminded me so much of what we do and the importance of it.
Yeah.
It's watching Ana Maria grow up and watching the girls in her community really look up to her. She doesn't recognize that, but she really serves as a role model for them. And
you think so?
I know so. Absolutely. And so I would encourage you, no matter your age, to consider going on a mission trip, serving, being that role model.
So if you're grandpa and grandma, you are absolutely allowed to go on these trips too, but you might be thinking about your grandchild.
Absolutely.
And how this might be a special way to go do some things. The Spiritual Orphans Network, that is Sun Network with one N, that's how you say it, .org. And you can find out more about it. Pastor David Breitenbach, Angela Breitenbach, and Ana Maria Gross, thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.